You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, and it's my life mission to empower you with the knowledge and tools you need to spark positive change in your community. If you're new here, I'm the owner of Bestowed Essentials and Hippie Haven. I started Bestowed Essentials just over 3 years ago, and today our handmade, eco-friendly personal care and cleaning products can be found on the shelves of over 200 stores across the U.S. and Canada. Bestowed Essentials is one of the 15 winners of the Stacey's Rise Project Class of 2020, and we are also recognized by FedEx as one of their top 100 small businesses in the U.S. for 2 years in a row. In December 2019, my team and I opened Hippie Haven, a zero-waste store and community space in Rapid City, South Dakota. Of course, I also host this Hippie Haven podcast, and we release new episodes every Wednesday, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to the Hippie Haven podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. You can find the show notes and transcript for every episode on hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on our website. You can follow along on Instagram at hippiehavenshop or subscribe to our YouTube channel to see more behind the scenes at both of our Earth Conscious companies. Today's episode is brought to you by The Futon Shop. The Futon Shop is a California family-owned company. They've been handcrafting natural and organic futon mattresses, bed mattresses, pillows, and sleep covers since 1976. All of their handcrafted organic futons and mattresses are made with 100% certified GOLS, GOTS, and USDA certified fibers, and they come with a 30-night comfort guarantee. Visit hippiehavenpodcast.com/thefutonshop to find your new mattress today. My guest today is Shannon Lohr. She's the founder and CEO of Factory 45 and co-founder of Revolution Apparel, a sustainable clothing company for female travelers and minimalists that was featured in the New York Times and Forbes.com. Shannon has worked with over 200 entrepreneurs from all over the world to create ethically made apparel with a focus on environmentally friendly materials. Many of her clients have gone on to launch some of the most transparent supply chains in the fashion industry. Today, we're talking about how to start a sustainable clothing brand, increasing supply chain transparency, crowdfunding a new business, and more. Let's get started. So, Shannon, tell me about yourself and how you got into the sustainable fashion industry.
So, it was back in 2010. I was, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, but I was really exploring what it would mean to start a fashion brand and didn't know anything about fashion. I was a journalism major in college, but through my research, I realized, whoa, the fashion industry is so harmful in so many ways to the planet, to the people who make our clothing. It was just like this huge realization that there's a really big issue with mainstream fashion. And so through that process of creating my own sustainable fashion brand, I started to realize that it should be easier to start a brand in a way that localizes the supply chain, uses sustainable fabrics, reduces waste, all of those things that sort of we think of when we think of eco-fashion now. And again, this was 10 years ago, so it was very new at the time. And that brought me into what I do now, which is run Factory 45. And it's an online accelerator program that helps entrepreneurs start clothing companies in a sustainable and ethical way. It was essentially the program I would have wanted when I was first starting out and starting my own brand.
And then, so tell me about how Factory 45 works and how you came up with the idea for it specifically.
Well, again, it just sort of went back to what I would have needed or wanted when I was first starting out in the fashion industry and knowing that I didn't want to compromise my values. I wanted to start a brand that was sustainably and ethically made using sustainable fabrics, manufacturing locally, again, reducing waste, all eco-friendly packaging, all of those things. And so now Factory 45 is a six-month online accelerator program where I take a cohort of entrepreneurs from idea stage to launching their own sustainable and ethical fashion brands.
And if somebody had an idea for an apparel product or a fashion brand, what would be the first piece of advice you'd give them?
I think the first thing is when we think about sustainable fashion, you know, this isn't about creating another t-shirt company, right? It's more about figuring out what problem you are solving for the customer so that we're not just creating more of the same. We're actually identifying who is our ideal target customer. Who is our, you know, what is our niche? What is our niche market? So we can specifically tailor the product for that group of people and provide a solution to whatever problem they may be having. And when it comes to fashion, it's not like, you know, we're solving the world, you know, world hunger or, you know, medical breakthroughs. But there is always, even when we get dressed every day or with different accessories or footwear, whatever it may be, there is always some sort of pain point that you can help alleviate for your customer. And so that is the first thing I would recommend figuring out, because that is also going to separate you from the rest of the market and help you to find your people faster, to help you find your customer faster.
But there are, you know, tens of thousands of clothing brands. So even with a social impact, how would you recommend that somebody still stand out in this very saturated market and not just be, you know, yet another t-shirt brand?
Yeah, I think it comes down to design, wearability, functionality, product testing, all of these things that when you really niche down, and this is the thing that I see a common mistake that entrepreneurs make, is that they want to appeal to everyone. They think that to be in the fashion industry and to compete with all of those other, as you say, like the saturated brand or the saturated industry, that they have to appeal to everyone and get all of the customers to make it. And it's actually the opposite is true. Really, the brands that I see that are successful are the ones who get very, very specific about who their market is and focus on those people. And that's really, again, I say, if you try to appeal to everyone, then you're going to appeal to no one. So the more you can narrow down your market, the faster those people are going to come out to support you.
What is the most common reason that you see people being held back from moving forward with their business ideas?
Oh, it's always, I always say running a mentorship accelerator program, I'm half mentor and consultant and coach and then half therapist because it is like the psychological warfare that happens for entrepreneurs internally is very real. I'm sure you can relate on some level, as we all can. I think that, you know, procrastination, which is ultimately what is, you know, holding people back, is their inability to take action. They're procrastinating on whatever they need to be doing. That's fear. You can just boil that down to fear, whether we're afraid of failing, afraid of saying the wrong thing, afraid of creating the wrong thing, afraid of wasting time and money. And so that is the biggest thing, that if you are able to overcome the fear-based mindset and to think, all right, I'm not afraid of failing. In fact, I know that as an entrepreneur, it's really important that I do fail. I'm going to have to fail. I'm going to have, whether they're mini failures or, you know, catastrophic failures in our mind, it's going to happen. So if we can already assume that that will happen in some capacity, then it makes it so much easier to take action and to move on and to take steps forward.
Now, on the other hand from that, what do you think is the most important key to entrepreneurial success?
So really the thing, and not to sound repetitive to what I was saying before, but when people ask me what are the brands or the products or the ideas that you're most excited about, it's never the idea itself. It's always the person. It's always the entrepreneur. And it's funny because this is kind of how a lot of venture capital works. Is venture capital, when you're talking about investing millions and millions of dollars in a company, they're investing in the entrepreneur. And it's the entrepreneurs that I know are going to take action. They're not going to have a problem getting past that fear, which I know is so hard for so many people. And that's a lot of what we do in Factory 45. We have alumni mentors that work in small groups with everyone, people who have already graduated from the program, and to give that support so that, you know, knowing that this is a really, you know, bringing a physical product to life is one of the hardest things you can possibly do. So having that support and that emotional and mental kind of safety net to get people to really be able to push forward. And then, you know, the people who can just innately take action without needing too much coaxing.
So on the note of, you know, starting a business, becoming an entrepreneur, I know that you have experience with crowdfunding to start a business. Can you tell me about that and what your tips are for that method to get a business idea off the ground?
Yes. So back when I was starting my own brand, my co-founder and I launched the highest funded fashion project in Kickstarter history at the time. And Kickstarter is a crowdfunding platform. So the idea is that you're pre-selling a product before you create any inventory. And I did this, you know, back in 2011, but this is still a method of launching that applies today and that I see my entrepreneurs doing successfully all the time. And what I love about it is two things. From a business perspective, it is an unbelievable way to test the market. It ensures that you're actually creating something that your customers want. So that reduces your own financial risk. It reduces the environmental risk of creating inventory that's just going to sit around and not be purchased. And then that sort of brings me into the second reason is that you aren't creating any inventory. So from a sustainability perspective, you're not creating something that you don't know will sell because your customers are pre-ordering and essentially financing the production run for you. So in just so many ways, it's a win-win for the environment, for yourself, your business, your customer, all the things. And that's why I think we see bigger brands, like established brands who have been around for years, still doing pre-orders for new collections or new products, because it's just such a great way to test the product first.
And so your entire career revolves around sustainable and ethical fashion. Has this always been your career path, or are you surprised that you ended up doing this? And is this something that you think that you see yourself doing for the rest of your life?
It's a good question. I definitely did not expect to be doing this. I was a journalism major in college. My last real job, I was an intern at Sports Illustrated. So I thought that I wanted to be like on TV at sports games doing broadcasting. So it's just very, very funny. I was not interested in sustainability at all. I was a fast fashion bargain bin junkie in college. Like, I was known for going to Forever 21, buying a dress, never wearing it again. Like, and that completely, you know, flipped. Now I only buy secondhand or from sustainable small independent brands. So everything sort of changed as my career, you know, progressed in sustainable fashion. That really spread into all different areas of my life. Now I'm vegan, you know, like I compost, I do, you know, do all this, try to do all the things, use cloth diapers for my kids. Like it really kind of spread into this lifestyle change. And of course, that's not to say I do everything perfect at all, but it's so much farther than where I was, you know, even 10 to 15 years ago. And you know, I don't know that I'll always be in this industry. I think I will in the sustainable living space. I'm very interested in sustainable fashion, and I'll keep doing Factory 45, but you know, who knows what else will come.
And since you have so much firsthand knowledge of starting not only your own sustainable, ethical fashion brand, but helping hundreds of entrepreneurs start their own as well, maybe you can help clear up some of the misconceptions around sustainable fashion, starting with, like, why is it so expensive? You know, there's so many people that want to buy sustainably, ethically made clothes, but are just completely deterred by the price tag of it. So are these companies just, like, capitalizing off of, you know, the label of being able to slap that word on there? Or what is the true cost of these clothing items?
It's a really good question. They're definitely not just, believe me, the thing I talk about with sustainable fashion brands is, like, all sustainable fashion brands, okay, most sustainable fashion brands want to be able to lower their price. They really do. They don't want to be known as, like, oh, sustainable fashion, so expensive and inaccessible. The thing is, sustainable fabrics can cost 2 to 3 times more than, let's say, a yard of polyester that's made in Bangladesh or Vietnam or China. It's just a very, very big difference in the raw goods. And then when you think about the labor side of it, it costs, you know, a significant amount of money to pay sewers in a way that it's, you know, a fair and living wage. It's they have, you know, clean and safe working conditions. The ethical manufacturing piece of it, unfortunately, is just not a given. If you buy something from, you know, a Main Street brand or a fast fashion brand, there's no guarantee that that's being made by a sewer who is being paid a fair and living wage and is working in safe conditions. So that's all to say there is a lot of that goes into the raw goods cost. The cost of goods sold is what it's called, for a sustainable fashion product.
So that's the, you know, the behind the scenes, the production side of it. And then on the consumer side, it goes hand in hand with what you just mentioned about the environmentally friendly products and the fair wage for the sewers. But why should more consumers care about sustainable fashion? And what recommendations do you have to be able to afford it, even with the higher price tag?
I think that if you can, and this goes back to myself, like when I was starting my own brand, I was bartending. I did not have a lot of money. I was putting all of my money into starting my own company. So I just did not have the disposable income to be buying all sustainably made brands. And so if you are in that boat where it's just not feasible for you financially, buying secondhand, going to thrift stores, shopping on secondhand sites like Poshmark or ThredUp is such a great way to get started. And that's what I did. When I was first starting out, I just started buying secondhand. I would go to Buffalo Exchange. I would go to Goodwill. And, you know, it takes a little bit more effort. There's a little bit more of a treasure hunt. But nowadays, you know, it's almost like the same as shopping online on an e-commerce site to go on Poshmark or ThredUp. So I would start there. And then, you know, gradually you may start to incorporate pieces, you know, like special pieces that you know are sustainably and ethically made from brands that you can trust. And it's almost like it's a timeless piece. It's something that you know is going to be in your wardrobe for years and years to come. And why should you care? Really, because the planet depends on it. The fashion industry is just so incredibly wasteful and environmentally taxing, and we throw out so much clothing and so many textiles. And nowadays, so much of our clothing is made of synthetics and polyester that take up to 200 years to decompose in a landfill. So thinking about buying fabrics in, or buying products from fabrics with natural fibers that you know will decompose or be recycled or be able to break down, you know, you kind of have to pick, I think sometimes in this space, you have to pick the things you care about, right? We can't all be the crusaders for every single thing, but so maybe it is the environment that you care about. And so you can start changing the fabrics in your wardrobe, but maybe it's the people that you care about more. You care about ethical labor and labor rights and human rights issues. And so then you focus more on buying from brands that really emphasize ethical labor. So, you know, maybe you care about waste and overflowing landfills. And so you focus on buying secondhand and thrifted clothing. I think that's where you start. And then it sort of can snowball from there.
What are some of your favorite sustainable brands that have come out of Factory 45?
Ooh, I hate to play favorites. So I actually have an ethical fashion marketplace. It's called Market 45, and that's where I feature many of the brands that have launched from Factory 45. So I would say, you know, go there. I don't want to call anyone out specifically, but like Vetta is one that is, it's an amazing brand, V-E-T-T-A. Sotella is another one that is a sustainable women's brand that really promotes body positivity and size inclusivity. There are quite a few. So yeah, Market 45, you can check that out.
And for any of our listeners who are interested in starting their own sustainable clothing brand, where can they go to learn more about you and Factory 45 and to get started with this idea that they have?
My website is factory45.co, so you can start there. I have quite a bit of free resources, and if you sign up to my email list, then I send out one email per week with just tips and advice and resources for starting and launching your brand. I'm also on Instagram at factory45co.
And what about your own apparel brand? Where can we support that?
Oh, I sold that to my business partner several years ago, so I'm no longer involved with that. But one thing I will add is I also have a podcast called the Clean Living Podcast, which is just focused on sustainable living and eco-living in a broader sense, not just about fashion. So if anyone is listening and isn't specifically interested in starting their own fashion brand, you can also check out that podcast.
Perfect. And we'll drop the links to all of that in the show notes below. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's a wrap. Now it's time to take action. If you're in need of new clothing, check your local thrift stores before buying new. If you're looking to start your own ethical clothing business, check out the Factory 45 website for tips on how to get started. Links are in the show notes below. I'll be back next week with an episode all about sleep, how it's a skill, and how we can get better at it. Remember, knowledge is power, so if you learned something from today's episode, share it with someone you know who'd also benefit from this free resource. If you share the podcast on social media, don't forget to tag and follow us at Hippie Haven Shop, or my personal Instagram is at hippie.ceo. This podcast is produced with the help of my communications coordinator, Ray Lynn, who also helps produce our Hippie Haven YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on YouTube to see more behind the scenes at our zero waste company. You can also support our environmental advocacy work here at Hippie Haven by leaving a review for this podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support our work. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.